This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special.
This is a Boardwalk Audio podcast.
If I had a kid, I'd name him Xavier or Javier. Well, not Javier anymore, just Xavier.
Why not Javier? Did Hamilton change your feelings on Javier?
No, it's just as like now it's like Javier is like associated with like Javier, you know, Javier Munoz.
Oh, you just like you want your kid to be on their own. You don't want it associated with anyone.
So, you know, I just want my kid. Yeah, I want my kids to be like their own, you know.
That's very nice.
And Javier's all, and I want Javier to be Javier, you know, like Javi, you know. So I'll let him have his glory and my kids will have their glory too. Okay, anyway.
2, 3, 4.
Podcast, we're making a podcast about 30 Rock. Podcast, we're making a podcast about 30 Rock. We're calling it Talk 30 to me, it is great.
Hey guys, it's Kelsey.
I'm Kimmy.
And this is Talk 30 Rock to me.
Talk 30 Rock to me. We love you, Tina Fey.
We do. Please just talk. Just you don't even have to talk 30 Rock to us. She can just talk to us.
Kelsey, would you talk 30 Rock to me?
Were you winking at me?
I was winking. I'm very seductive.
I
did you
I'll
know?
Talk 30 Rock to you.
It's great.
I suppose I do that all the time.
Stop flirting anyway with me, Kelsey. This is ridiculous.
Oh, sorry. This is awkward. People can hear us. What is this? That was really bad flirting.
I don't understand. Yeah. You're like, I'm much better at it. I promise.
I can do this better. Rewind.
You know when I'm flirting with you.
Hey, girl.
You know? Okay. So this is our 30 Rock podcast. We talk about comedy, we talk about culture, we talk about 30 Rock,
yep.
Theater, New York, pretty much. If it's adjacent to 30 Rock, we'll talk about it.
You got
probably
that
right. If it's about 10 steps from 30 Rock, we'll talk about it.
Yep.
So yep. If you're listening to us and you haven't already, please rate, review, subscribe. We super duper appreciate it. And if you write a review, we will send you a sticker. Our official Talk 30 Rock to Me Night Cheese sticker.
Yep.
It's absolutely delightful. I love those stickers so much. Also, if you're listening, you're a fan of the show, please go to boardwalkaudio.com/talk30rock to me. Click support our artists and use our Amazon portal and purchase your Amazon purchase because we are all adults. We all use Amazon way too much.
For everything, though,
even though I'm very afraid of Amazon in general. There's too much money there. They have too much money. At the same time, I'm really grateful for the money they give us in kickback. So please make your Amazon purchases that way.
Well done.
I know. This is the first time in 6 months I've done that correctly. So I just think I just deserve applause. So
I'm very applauding you. I'm very applauding.
Great.
You. I'm applauding.
Hey,
you
Kimmy, good job at doing your job.
Well done.
Oh my gosh.
You get anyway a paycheck this week if people use the Amazon portal.
Use the Amazon portal. So, hey, Kelsey, we are not alone. We are not alone.
I don't know that song.
Okay, fair enough. We have the one and the only Lee Pugsley back with us.
Woo!
Hey guys.
Favorite
hey
guest. Thanks, Lee. I knew I could count on you.
It just reminded me of that Michael Jackson song. You remember that song?
No.
You are not alone. I am here with you. I think it won a Grammy in like 1996. Or it was on like the Grammy Greatest Hits album from 96.
I totally believe that.
Anyway, okay.
So. Oh my hey gosh. Guys, I expect a lot of this great musical knowledge to be showing up at the show.
I like that. Did you
oh
miss
my gosh.
Me?
They did. We did, Lee. I'm so glad. Thank you so much for doing this.
Thank you guys so much for having me back here. I'm glad that I wasn't like, you know, I didn't bore you to tears last time.
No.
No, we're going to have freaking great.
You were a great guest and we were very set on having you for two episodes and it was my dumb fault getting in a dumb car accident that you weren't. So we really wanted to do it right by you.
But you know what? I have to give you kudos because this time around you did not get in a car accident.
I didn't.
So
I didn't even get in the car.
Just to make sure we sent a car instead.
We sent you a car instead. Yeah, no, instead of me driving.
Smart idea, guys.
I know. I decided to outsource all my driving. So
if you're a little confused, but so we've had Leon before.
Yes.
Lee was last on season 3, episode 14 of The Fun Cooker.
The Fun Cooker.
So you can go back and listen to that episode or refresh your memory about
Please
that.
Do.
You can hear lot about his history with 30 Rocks and his projects and all of that good stuff. And we very intentionally, when we were like, all right, you can't do two episodes, when we recorded that first one, and we learned while recording that episode that he has a connection with somebody in the show.
Isn't that crazy? I didn't know that. I've known Lee for like 3 years and I didn't know that.
Why is that not just the first thing you tell people, Lee?
I think you should.
I'll work on this.
Please, yeah, do. I want to say like
noted.
So we learned in that episode that Lee actually has a connection with Cheyenne Jackson, who, if this is your first time watching 30 Rock and you have not watched this episode today, you do not understand why we think Cheyenne Jackson is in the show.
Yeah, Cheyenne Jackson, also known as The Robot.
The Robot. The Robot.
The Robot.
We'll learn next week what his name is. Maybe.
It's true.
Stay tuned.
Or if he speaks English.
That's a good point.
That's true. Favorite line.
I love that. I hope
he speaks English.
Dear Lord, it's so funny.
So we invited Lee back for the first episode that Cheyenne appears in so that he can give us some details about the man. And maybe just tell us, can you let our listeners and us remind us and all that good stuff how you know of him? Do you guys like get dinner every week, or just what your history with Cheyenne is?
You know, I'd love to say that we get dinner every week. We don't, though, but we'll just go back, rewind, and I'll drop Hamilton references again because that's what I do. Okay, so
I love how on brand you are right now, and it's delightful.
Well, and since your last time on this, you have now seen Hamilton. You hadn't seen it at that point when you recorded last time.
You'd seen it, right?
I saw it in San Francisco last time.
Oh, I lied. I'm sorry. You hadn't just.
Yeah, Kelsey, stop lying.
Ooh,
but still,
awkward.
He hadn't seen it in L.A. at that point.
In L.A.
Point.
It's
and now, actually, Lee and I have both saw it together.
Oh, that's,
true. So it was a bonding experience. It was amazing.
It was beautiful.
To be in the room where it happened. Okay.
And then Lee definitely just stood up there and met all of the cast and just encouraged them and told them how worthwhile they were. And it was a beautiful thing.
They're so worthwhile.
Every person who performs on stage really needs Lee in the audience because he's the perfect audience member.
See, I would love to have dinner with them every week, too. We need to make this happen somehow. So Hamilton cast members, if you're listening to this, please have dinner with me. It doesn't have to be every week, just once a week. And Cheyenne Jackson, if you're listening to this, you can have dinner with me too, because I believe you live in L.A. You do live in L.A. I know this is a fact.
We should remember this.
Because I'm like, yeah.
Let's ask him
creepy,
on the show and then just like surprise him with Lee.
Hey.
Lee was like, remember me?
Lee just pops out from down the hall.
Remember when.
So Lee, but talk to us a little bit. So you told us last time that you performed with Cheyenne Jackson. Can you tell us a little more about this?
Yeah, I did. So I performed with Cheyenne Jackson. I was in sixth grade and he was older than me. I was in at this place in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho called Lake City Playhouse. And we performed Rodgers and Hammerstein's Cinderella, which to this day, out of all of my theatrical experiences, if I can talk correctly, theatrical experiences is one of my most most memorable experiences. It was just so, we were like a family, you know, like you had your grandparents, you know, you had this, you know, like 60-year-olds down to like kids that were five. And we were just such a family and it was so fun. but what I remember about Cheyenne from that time is he was.
What role did he play? And what role did you play?
I was one of the ensemble members in the chorus, and because I was too young to play anything, you know, of note. But it was still fun, and he played the prince, of course, because you know he's. Let's be honest,
he's beautiful.
Beautiful.
He looks like Prince Eric a little bit too.
He really does.
He looks like a Prince Charming.
He should have played like Prince Eric in The Little Mermaid on Broadway, or like something. I guess he still could play it somewhere.
He's very handsome.
Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, so I was in a show with him and I just remember that he was really fun and always really kind and super nice to me and to the rest of the cast. And at that time, we just, you know, we saw that spark and we're just like, this guy is going to go places. Mm-hmm. He was from a place about 40 minutes away from Coeur d'Alene called Newport, Washington, which is also on the border of this other town where my aunt used to live called Priest River, Idaho. So it's kind of like, I guess it's called, the air is called Old Town. So basically he was from Old Town. And then he moved to, he did some other shows. He did like Summer Stock in Coeur d'Alene, and he did some other like shows with our community theater. Actually, the first show I remember seeing him in was Phantom of the Opera, not the Andrew Lloyd Webber version, but there's another version.
There's another Phantom of the Opera? Oh, I had heard that.
There's a version by this guy named Ken Hill, and then there's another version by Maury Yeston, and I can't remember the other guy's name. Arthur Copit, that's who it is. So there's three different Phantom of the Opera versions. He was in the Ken Hill version at Lake City Playhouse. And then I was like, oh, he's super talented. And then the next thing you know, I was on a show with him and it was great.
Now, for us plebeians in the audience, can you please explain, is the Rodgers and Hammerstein Cinderella the one with Brandy? That was on ABC.
I love that one.
Okay, the Rodgers and Hammerstein Cinderella is the one with Brandy that has like the songs Impossible. Yes. Things are happening every day.
I get that
day.
Song stuck in my head once a month.
It's such a good song. And when you're feeling discouraged, you just have to remember that Impossible, things are happening every day.
I did love that one very much. Do you know that's actually credited with bringing back the musical?
Really? Brandy's Cinderella?
Because it did hugely.
Wasn't Whoopi Goldberg in that?
Yeah, and Whitney Houston, too.
Yeah, it did hugely, and basically it did so well that suddenly I think it allowed for the creation. I think it was that.
Are you sure it wasn't a Cinderella story?
Because it was Adam Shankman. No, Adam Shankman made the Disney, the Brandy Cinderella, and Adam Shankman went to direct Hairspray and other musicals.
Actually, I think it was Rob Marshall that directed that Cinderella.
Was it Rob Marshall?
It was pretty much, Rob Marshall because...
Rob Marshall then went to Chicago. It was someone else.
Right, Chicago and Nine. And I always thought that with Rob Marshall, the thing that he does really good is he always has a very nice blend of color. He takes all these colors and makes this world of color that you just get engulfed in. If you think of Chicago, Nine, Memoirs of a Geisha, which I don't know how many people saw that.
I saw Memoirs of a Geisha. It was a beautiful movie. Like, it was lovely.
But he uses color so well to make this like visual tapestry that just sucks you into the world.
That's amazing.
But okay, so going back to Shan. So yes, it was the Brandy version of Cinderella. Like, it was a slightly older version because that version was updated a little bit. And then the newest version that came on Broadway in 2012 or 13 was also updated even more. And that's my favorite version right now, actually. But... Cheyenne was in the was in the Rodgers and Hammerstein Cinderella with me, and then he moved on to Seattle and did stuff at the Fifth Avenue Theater in Seattle, which is a regional theater that does Broadway caliber productions. Then he moved on to Broadway. His first Broadway show was Thoroughly Modern Millie.
Ooh.
And then he did Aida. He originated.
You like know his career. I'm very impressed.
All Shook Up. And the most exciting thing was when he did All Shook Up in 2005. To buy his cast album and be like, oh my gosh, I'm listening to a guy that like I worked with, and it was so exciting.
That is huge. I think that's a lot of us, particularly in the industry, have those moments where we all have that moment where we know someone who becomes really successful, and it's always a very weird feeling to be like, oh, this is so strange. This is that person. I have a friend, I was just talking to her, and she knows someone who got cast in a Star Wars movie.
That's so crazy.
Like that kind of experience. And I have little things like that, nothing that big, but it's just a very strange phenomenon when you're like, oh, this person and I used to get drinks, and now they're working with Steven Spielberg. It's really weird. So what a unique experience you had at such a young age, though, to watch someone's career just blossom.
It was great. And I'm just like, okay, people from Coeur d'Alene do go places. So there's hope for me yet.
That's really cool.
And then just, I guess, something for you listeners out there. If you want to know more about Cheyenne Jackson, what he's currently doing, because he's doing a show in New York right now, you can check out the latest episode, or not the latest, I think it was one or two weeks ago, of Show People with Paul Wontorek. You can find it on YouTube. It's from Broadway.com. And he actually has a whole interview with Cheyenne Jackson where Cheyenne mentions Idaho and he mentions 30 Rock as well.
Ooh. Wait, real quick. What is the show? So what is the show that Cheyenne Jackson's doing right now on Broadway?
Oh, I don't remember I should have known. I should have written this down. I don't remember the name of it. But
we'll Google it.
Yeah, he's doing a short stint in New York right now. So I'm happy for him.
He's always doing stuff in New York.
He wants to go back to Broadway, as he should, because he has an amazing voice. I don't know. Did he sing on 30 Rock ever?
He did. He does one of my favorite. Yeah, Christmas episode. He sings Danny Boy in an episode. And I remember my mother does not like 30 Rock. Sadly, my mother walked in the room and was like, oh, that's so. My mom's a sucker for classic singing. She's like, that's so beautiful. Mm-hmm. And she stayed for like 15 minutes. And then she was
gives
like,
Jenna like a stress, bloody nose type of thing.
Yeah, because it's so beautiful.
Oh, that's right. Okay, I remember this
And
now.
Pete is Danny so boy, exciting. Yes.
The pipes.
His voice is magical, though. It'll just make you melt. And he actually does have a few albums out, too. So
I'll just
plug them now. You can find them on iTunes. One of them's called The Power of Two with him and Michael Feinstein. And the other one, I don't remember the title of it, but it's on my iTunes playlist.
I'm curious. Yeah, I'll find out. We should find out what he's doing right now. I think he's so lovely on the show. And this is our intro episode on him.
It is.
This is when we finally get to meet. On this show, they have Josh, played by Lonnie
Lonnie.
Mm-hmm. Lonnie.
Which, this is his last episode.
This is his last episode. And I'm just impressed. This is another case of, like, why did this person sign on for this scene? Like, it just, it's really funny, him doing this, like, him showing up being like, hey, you forgot about me. I used to be on the show. And then immediately be like, here's my character called Smelly Belly, which just proves why he's not on the show anymore.
Yeah.
But every now and then they just will give a person a scene where I'm like, why did this person say yes?
Mm-hmm.
Why didn't they just say pass?
Right.
But then he didn't know that would be his last scene. That's so true. Maybe. I don't know. It's just interesting.
Yeah, I don't know what he went on to do after this.
Mm-hmm. I kind of feel bad for his character. I'm like, oh, like, you used to be on the show and now you're not. And that's mm-hmm. sad.
Well, I think we should head into our 30-30, but I want to say one thing to you, Lee, before. First of all, I thank you so much for coming and chatting. It's always fun to hear people who have some unique connection to the show.
Absolutely.
But I've never told you this. My dream is to one day do Community Shakespeare. I don't want to do any other acting. I want to do Community Shakespeare. And
like community
that's it.
Theater Shakespeare or yeah. Shakespeare in the community where you just go out and like quote Shakespeare?
Both?
Like the community.
I mean, I'm pretty much already doing that other one. I just sent our friend Will, former guest of the show, the Beatles performing Pyramus and Thisbe, which is one of my favorite Shakespearean performances.
Oh, I love
it.
Yeah. So
I love
good.
It. The Hisabe. Anyway, so my dream is to be in Community Shakespeare. So one day, Lee, I hope you get to help me make this dream
okay.
happen.
Well, since I do directing too, then I can we'll
anytime.
Make this happen. We'll
I
make
think
it happen.
I'm a perfect Beatrice. So
I could totally see that.
Thank you. She's who I modeled myself after since I was 9, which says so much about who I am as a person. Anyway, so we'll get into this at another point. This is about 30 Rock, not Shakespeare.
I have it locked in though to my list of projects that I want to do in the future.
And
so,
dude, we'll
Kimmy
talk
in Community.
I will say I've been doing live reads with friends, and I recently was cast as the plucky female secretary in an Agatha Christie play, Ten Little Indians. Loved
Ooh,
that.
That's a great play too.
Loved
that.
I was Claythorne, Vera Claythorne.
Which, on a side note, have you guys seen Murder on the Orient Express? Now
not
that we're
yet.
About
I'm
Agatha
seeing
Christie.
It in the next week because we read it for our book club a couple of years ago, and so mm-hmm. we're
okay.
seeing it.
Phenomenal cast, and
I've
I'll
heard it
leave
was really
it
good.
There. Because I don't want to influence
Lee?
Your opinion.
Fair enough. Mm-hmm. I appreciate okay. that. So we'll just you, Lee. I'll give you a call once I see it. We'll
okay,
discuss.
Please do. Please
Let's do.
Do
it. All right, but it's time for
30-30.
Is there a 30-30
theme music or no? That was our 30-30. That was ours. That's what we do. That
is 100%. You whisper and very like 30-30.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. That's it's
we
us.
Seductively
I don't know how it happened. How did we get there?
I don't remember if that was from the jump or
what.
If we, I will have to go. But some listener, tell us when we started doing that, please. Thanks.
Exactly.
We give out homework assignments.
Mm-hmm.
So my 30-30 today is actually really kind of funny, and it's only a 30-30 because of this episode. So in this episode, Gilbert Gottfried is mentioned eventually a couple of times.
Is mentioned
and
is in it.
Impersonate. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah, I know. I was
or in voice.
We weren't getting there yet.
Oh, sorry. I didn't mean to skip.
His name is mentioned in this episode.
Don't jump the gun, Kimmer.
I'm so sorry. You jumped too.
I was catching up on Harmontown because I was several episodes behind.
Oh, yeah. He's been on Harmontown a couple times.
He was the comptroller once. Many, many times ago. And Jeff Daniels.
Many moons ago.
Many, 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 many moons ago. But they just had Neil Berkley on as a guest recently. And Neil Berkley did the Harmontown documentary when they went on tour a couple
yes,
years ago.
The one that we are in.
Yes. Well, yes. You're in. I don't think I'm in it. You're in it that we see you say in line. When you were just somebody who randomly perused Nerd Melt.
I know. Before I worked there. Isn't that weird?
And so Neil Berkley did it. So they had Neil Berkley back on specifically to talk about, he has a new documentary all about Gilbert Gottfried mm-hmm. called Gilbert. And when I was listening to the episode, all it made me, I literally went back on and bought the Harmontown documentary because I forgot that I enjoyed it so much. So I went there and I watched that. And then, but yeah, so I, based on what they were talking about, I'm going to watch the Gilbert Gottfried one too, because it sounds really good. And he kind of got Gilbert to eventually kind of break from the character we know him as.
Which I don't, so few people have heard.
Yeah,
do.
Like the real Gilbert and like talk. And I guess Neil was saying that like you see a lot about his relationship with his sister who was battling cancer and has since died since the documentary finished.
Oh, dang.
That's so sad.
Yeah, yeah. But so it is incredibly sad, but it was just, I was really excited because whatever. So I would just suggest that if you like the voice of Gilbert in this episode, maybe you like his documentary.
Interesting. He's got a podcast going right now. Like Gilbert Gottfried's having an interesting moment.
Interesting.
I don't know. I just feel like he's a little more present. And then again, my only experience with Gilbert Gottfried is Aladdin. So and Affleck.
Wait, I thought he did like some kind of like Pop-Tarts commercial or like
that sounds right.
Talking about.
That sounds right.
Pop Tarts or cereal commercial, one of the two. And I'm just like, that's definitely Gilbert Gottfried.
I mean, it has to be, right? You can't miss him. So
I've seen him in Hollywood Squares a few, like when that was a thing.
He would fit in Hollywood Squares. That makes sense.
I never once put, and because I haven't watched Aladdin probably in like, I don't know, 5 or 6 years. And as soon as you said, oh, in Aladdin, I'm like, oh, I instantly, like, I never put that together.
Yeah.
What's the bird's name?
Iago.
Yeah.
Patience,
I mix
Iago,
up Iago and... Oh, Zazu's in a...
Zazu's in Lion King. That's... I was thinking Zazu, and I knew that
they're
wasn't
They're all
right. The same.
Yeah.
They're
no,
all birds.
Well, all I know is because Zazu, John Oliver is Zazu. And my favorite tweet I've seen in years where he says, Beyonce and I have some news. And it's him announcing the casting for The Lion King. It was adorable. Anyway... Dude, that's a good 30-30. Gilbert Gottfried is such a character.
Right.
And it's such a... I feel like it's worth saying once that we're having a moment with male comedians. And
that is a very nice way of putting that.
I think we're having a moment. And Gilbert Gottfried is one of the kind of classic voices. And I don't know. He was responding to everything. And I don't really want to go into it. But I've been thinking about him a lot just as like a figurehead. Huh. Like him and Andy Dick, all these kind of like male comedians that we all grew up with who have really strong voices in culture. I've just kind of been thinking about it lately.
Didn't something come out about Andy Dick about all this stuff too?
Well, I think things have been coming out about Andy Dick for years.
Yeah.
So true. Particularly, we'll leave that there though. We'll let this stay about this level of dark.
Anyway, let's talk about
good
this 30-30,
dude. Thanks. Thank you so much.
So today we are talking about season 4, episode 4 of 30 Rock,
mm-hmm.
Audition Day.
Audition Day.
Ooh. Air date was November 5th, 2009. Director was Beth McCarthy Miller and writer was Matt Hubbard.
Got it. Classic great 30 Rock teams.
Yup. Recap is that Jack is dealing with what it's like to be an outcast, courtesy of some unexpected visitors. Jenna recruits Tracy to help her make sure that someone she hates doesn't join the cast. And Liz and Pete stack the deck to get the new actor they want, only to hit a few bumps in the road.
Oh my gosh, this episode is such a gem. I don't know, just absolutely. Initial thoughts, both of you. What did you think?
Well, for me, because I do directing and I do casting, like... There were so many relatable, and I mean, I do acting too. So there have been so many relatable points as far as like just the whole view of like actors, you know, just like, you know, actors, they're people with feelings too. And like every actor thinks that when they come out of an audition, it's like, why are you treating me like this? I'm a person too. Like, just like love me. And so there's that thing. And then just like on the casting side of things, you know, just like seeing some auditions that are very, you know, ridiculous at mm-hmm. certain times, you're like, wow. And you know, so I related to that. And then and then there's all these little fun little like theatery and actory references in there that I totally get, that I'm like, I love this. And then from a directing point of view, and just like, you know, just like wanting to like find the right person and all that, like all of that stuff, it's so relatable to me. I'm like, this is the perfect episode to talk about for me.
Mm-hmm. No, I think you are absolutely perfect, and I would love to hear perspective just because I'm not a performer. So I've never been through the audition process. I work with some performers every now and then just through friends and whatnot, you know, just seeing what they're going through. It's a whole process, honestly, and it's very intensive, the audition process, and there's such an art to it. So my heart really broke in this episode because I've just seen friends go through this, and it really, whew, it's really hard. But I want to, before we get into it, there's a specific moment that really killed me. If we're talking about the audition process, and obviously it's .com has those little flashcards, and it's the bit where it says, if she says no, where he's reading it. That feeling I have is the same feeling I had in the 2000 and I want to say 15 Oscars, where Eddie Redmayne was up for Theory of Everything and Michael Keaton mm-hmm. was up for Birdman, and Eddie Redmayne won. And the way the camera panned, you watched they announced Eddie Redmayne's name. He took the stage and you watched Michael Keaton have a piece of paper in his hand and put it back in his pocket. And you realized he had a acceptance speech and he had prepared. And I remember I saw that because I love Michael Keaton. If we're talking about Shakespeare again, I was very influenced by him in Much About Nothing. And it broke my heart.
That's
hurt.
So sad.
He'll have his moment. I really believe Michael Keaton will get an Oscar at some point.
He will.
He's going to have his moment. But that's the feeling I have when you see .com read, if she says no. I just am like, oh, which is great.
It's so brutal. Going back to the Oscar thing, I just have to comment on this.
Yes, please do.
It's so brutal when they like pan to the
They
person.
Show immediately the losers.
Like, they know the runner-up, you know, because you always have, like, you know, in the Oscar race for Best Actor, Actress, there's always, like, those two that are going to be in the lead. And whichever one is not called, they always pan to their face. And I'm like, just focus on the person that's winning now. We don't need to see the look of
we
the
We know beat. They're sad. Yeah.
We know they're sad. We get it. They're disappointed. I would
like,
be
are
too.
They hoping that somebody's going to flip the camera off? Like, that's what they're hoping for
They want a moment.
Response.
Right, right. But it just, I don't know. It's just, it's so brutal, honestly.
Mm. Yeah, it's it really, really hurts. So those are the feelings this episode gave me. It's like, oh no, oh no. So I, oh, it's so intense. But
I definitely, when I started watching this episode, I went, ugh. Like, I don't, I end up liking it more than I remembered liking it.
Oh, really?
It.
So you didn't like this episode?
I did not
normally
used to like it. Yeah.
What,
interesting.
Did you not? Yeah, what did
I don't know. I just, it started and I went, ugh. Like, I don't remember what it was that I didn't like about it, but there was, I was not looking forward to watching the episode. And then at the end, I was like, okay, that was, I guess that was kind of funny. that sounds, it was a funny episode. But I just don't remember having ever enjoyed it previously.
Well, this is fun. Then I'm excited to see what you rediscovered about it.
Yeah.
Absolutely. You were like playing with your hair, very annoyed. Like, I didn't used to like it, but I like it now.
I guess I've grown a little bit since then.
Anyway. Well, Kelsey, which plot line do you want to cover?
Let's start with Jax, because Jax is just kind of funny.
Jax, oh my gosh.
Jax got bed bugs.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Not just bed bugs, though. What were all the other names? That?
Oh, Ozark Kisses.
The Chew, let's see.
Chew Daddies.
Chew Daddies. It was like, oh,
the,
you had a bad
the Woodsman's the Companion.
Do y'all have any other good names? I was trying to think of names for bed bugs.
I was thinking about asking. There was one other one that somebody mentioned later on.
It's the taxi driver yells something, but Crawdaddy.
Oh, yeah.
He calls him, oh my gosh, someone's concubine. It's the Zimbabwean president's concubine. I looked at the guy's name. I don't remember what it was.
That's so funny.
Mugabe's concubine.
Oh my goodness.
No, there's one other name that somebody calls it, but if I find it, I'll say it.
Have you guys ever, I'm going to ask real quick, have you guys ever experienced bed bugs?
I don't think so.
Fortunately, no, but I have heard horror stories of bed bugs.
Oh,
from
yeah.
Friends and stuff. And they say that, like, you just get so paranoid. And even when they're gone, you still think that they're on you. And you're just like, what I think of, though, and this is a really bad comparison when I think of bed bugs, though, is the closest comparison I can think of to them. And I know this is completely different. Is like the old Mummy movie with Brendan Fraser. They had these little
bugs. Oh my
gosh,
this giant
that get
beetle.
Under your skin, they get under your skin. It's such a disturbing image, but that's what I think about when I think of bed bugs. And I know it's not like that, and I would never. Yeah, that would be terrible. If
like
that was
to me, it's for me, bed bugs are a combination of lice and ticks.
That's a good way to look at it, I think.
They're so gross.
Oh, Blue Ridge Quill Ticklers.
I got really fortunate. After all that time I spent in India, honestly, I should have. But luckily, I think it was cold enough. I didn't have any bed bug issues. Thank God.
Were there any friends that have bed bug issues from
India? Just a lot of my friends, when they go, they've come back and they have to be... Like, I had some friends I just saw a week ago who just came back from India. And they just had to be... Now, it's not like India has bed bugs. It's the bad hostels we all stay in when we were in India. Because I stayed in a hostel for 2 weeks where I never touched the bed I slept on because it was so gross. I put things over it. It was awful. Yeah. And they were for sure bed bugs in that. Somehow I escaped.
Now, here's a question about bed bugs really quick before we get back into the like plot line. Do you think, because I always thought maybe you could like humanize the bed bugs and make them like really cute and stuff.
Oh, like a Wes Anderson like live.
Oh, I was thinking
like,
a flea circus.
So I'm thinking of like... kind of like a Bug's Life, but like a Pixar movie, but it's specifically about bed bugs, you know?
Then I'm glad
to know
that you went.
Characterizations and like...
I'm so glad you went.
Like endure, like, they become like endearing characters.
The little kid, like, has all of his friends and his mom thinks he's kind of, like, nuts. Like, oh, your invisible friends. Like, no, Tommy was here earlier. And then it cuts to, like, Tommy on his pillow waiting for him to come home from school.
Exactly. The only thing about that, though, is it might make bed bugs look appealing. And then kids are like, bed bugs, yeah! And
they're
the parents
so
would not...
for bed bugs.
The parents would, like, sue, like, Pixar or something to be like, you're responsible for my kid having bed bugs. He just sought it out now.
I'm so entertained that you were, that I immediately went Wes Anderson stop motion and you immediately went Pixar. It says so much about who we are as people. Oh my goodness.
What would the sequel be? Their response though, and like, oh, parents are mad about the first one, so how do we make bed bugs evil in number two? I don't know.
Maybe you could please both parties and they could have like split personalities or something. Oh, so gosh. Sometimes they're like, it's like the Jekyll.
Bring in
Hyde
Shyamalan.
Complex,
he'll,
you know?
He'll create a good twist. We'll get that Shyamalama ding dong guy.
There we go.
Shyamalama
there we go.
Ding-dong.
Love it.
That's what my dad calls him. Anyway, so we'll get to Jack. So he's got bed bugs. The product placement in this episode
is
so incredible.
Go Cisco.
Cisco. Mm-hmm.
Which
it's
I,
so funny.
We use Cisco routers. I don't think we do anymore. I think we're using HP switches right now. Or HP Sonicals. Anyways, Cisco, that cracked the IT person in me cracked up that they were talking about Cisco.
Well, this is what I'm going to say really impresses me about this episode. This episode, and a lot of them, we have an A story, B story, C story, and maybe A and B interact or B and C interact. Mm-hmm. This one, every plot line is so deeply intertwined in the next. It's so beautifully crafted,
totally.
Right? Because they have this whole thing. He's got the bed bugs, right? And so the bed bug, he starts off being be more human, but then he has this affliction that makes him appreciate his humanity. And they also create an affliction that makes him use this ridiculous. I don't know. There's so much thought into this episode, how it's crafted. It blows my mind.
I was literally just thinking that earlier today when I was eating lunch. I'm like, you know what? This is one of those episodes where the A, B, and C, like all the storylines, they're interwoven mm-hmm. together.
It really beautifully.
Like you need one of them. Yeah, one of them interconnects with the other. It's not just like separate. You know, you couldn't just do a separate like episode for each one of them because
right.
they all come together at the end.
They do. Thank you for that jingle. I think we're going to use it.
You can always expect musical references from me.
That's all I want.
The scene with Jack on the subway because the taxi driver won't let him in because he looks like the guy's concubine or whatever.
He doesn't look like the guy's. He's calling the bed bugs the concubine.
He says, "You are Mugabe's concubine." No,
I didn't think he said you are. I thought he said
the closed caption said you are.
That doesn't make any sense. I thought it was another name because we keep getting funny names for bed bugs. The funny name for the bed bugs in this scene is Mugabe's concubines.
Well, I think it was a comment about about Mugabe. Like, oh, I don't know if like it's all like if there was like something with him like being dirty or whatever it is that gets you bed bugs.
He looks like Mugabe's concubine, though.
That's what I didn't read it as.
Lee,
another.
How'd you read it? Break the tie. Or do you have a third interpretation? I love when this happens. I find it fascinating. Language is weird. How'd you read this joke?
Wait, okay. So really quickly, just refresh how you interpreted it.
I interpreted it as another funny name for bed bugs. Like he sees him scratching. He goes, oh no, Mugabe's concubine. And he's calling it like that's what bed bugs are in that cultural language. And she saw it. They were calling Jack Mugabe's concubine.
Oh, see, I thought it was Jack actually like as well. I interpreted
it
that way.
Hats off. I've lost this battle. Interesting. Well,
yeah, I think because I read the closed caption, it said you are.
We get it, Kelsey. You I want me that to read closed captioning
from like an English point of view. Concubine indicates like one person.
It's
you
a
know,
person. Yeah,
versus
yeah, yeah,
like
yeah.
Bed bugs would be a people group. Or
I really hope our next iTunes review is like they really get into grammar a lot. which would be accurate.
So for all you English students out there,
Lee,
take note.
My hat is off. You just made a beautiful argument. I'm won over. They call Jack the concubine. But sorry. Anyway, you were making the point
also
about the train.
Also, another note of English wording real quick. Is it Mugabe?
Mugabe.
Okay, because
name.
It kind of...
M-U-G-A-B-E.
Okay, because it kind of reminds me of agave. So it's like agave
like
and Mugabe. Could they like make it a Mugabe? Like, I don't know. Anyway, just...
His name is Robert Mugabe.
Okay, anyway, just a side note. Just word association.
He's identified as a Marxist-Leninist.
Ooh.
Ew.
Although
sexy.
After the 1990s, he self-identified only as a socialist.
Lenin, too hot sticking with Lenin
his
and Marx.
His policies have been described as Mugabeism.
Biopic coming soon, 2019 Oscars, ladies
I'd
and gentlemen.
I'd watch it. David Oyelowo plays him, and
David,
I'd watch it in
perfect.
A minute.
I'm in.
Uh-huh. Oh my gosh, good, great. I'm glad great. We're making this movie. Yeah. David Oyelowo is now attached.
David Oyelowo, if you're listening to this, do this movie, please.
okay, actually, no, I'm going to not touch on the later. So what happened on the train?
So on the so the scene of him like, trying to get people like whatever and he makes his announcement, it reminds me of the scene that happens later on in like season 6 or 7 where Liz dresses an old lady And like she's like, where people like will let her sit down, and she gets to be rude. Like there was just something about it that reminded me. Maybe it's because Liz is on a subway at that point.
Oh yeah, that's probably why. But no, I remember that scene. That's a really great scene in a future episode. And people also, the shame of public transportation is real for a lot of us.
Yes.
So basically, he just has to go in the freight elevator, and he just goes on this journey of rejection that makes him really appreciate all the people who actually interact with him.
And you get like the two, like the saddest one is Jonathan. Like Jonathan, like. Won't touch Jack, like he just he's so heartbroken for Jack. And then later on when Jack wants a hug when Jack wants a hug from Kenneth,
oh yeah,
and he's like, I got something, or whatever he ends up saying. It's
Kenneth,
so
rejection
funny.
From Kenneth, I feel like would be
that's
the deepest
the ultimate
blow.
Rejection right
he's so kind.
Oh,
but
man.
Literally, this plot, other than these just like vignettes of Jack interacting with people, which Alec Baldwin is so good with people, it always works. You basically, he just gets pushed to the point where he decides he's going to makes the decision that at the end of the episode that drives everything. So
the
I think
only
that's pretty
person
much
who would
plot
give
line.
Him a hand.
Can I also want to add something about the plotline too that I really like notice that kind of reaches on a deeper level too. It's like the thing at the beginning. So at the beginning, he's like, you know, like I think one of his quotes is like, you know, like think like a robot, be like, what does he say? Like be
less passionate. He says a.
Be like logical
like
and
be logical and
dispassionate. Yes,
yep.
And so he says that, and then like, and I mean, and then you know, at the end, he's like talking to the robot. You know, when he's going in, he's like, "Oh, you can use the regular elevator around the corner. You're actually a human, or you're a human being."
Yeah,
I know.
And so it's like interesting because at the beginning, he starts out with this whole dichotomy of like
human v robot.
You know, of like you know, think like a robot and like you know, be a robot and just like be so like have no feeling and no emotion and blah blah blah. And then by the end, he's totally on the he's the one that like you know like feels like a robot, and he's like now the robot is human. It's just such an interesting like dichotomy, I think. And also it plays into obviously the whole idea of actors and how actors are viewed and so on and so forth as
well.
Well,
and like
we'll get into that later.
Liz calls him out on that, where she's like, I chose so and so, and he's like, well, why not this person? He's like, and he's like, you're such a robot, like that's what you told me to be. Like Liz calls him out on that at one point, where she's so annoyed that he's annoyed at her for being more robotic.
Oh, and then he says something later too, like he's like, you know, like I have bed bugs and like they have chewed the blinders off of my eyes.
That was Kenneth saying that. Yeah, Kenneth says.
Oh,
that.
Kenneth says it. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know.
Oh, maybe that
then,
was Jack.
No, it was Jack.
Because
then
Jack.
He's like, he's like, these people are all like, you know, these are all human beings, Lemon, with feelings.
Yeah.
And so everyone gets a chance, you know. And so like, it was interesting. I mean, it's just interesting because you see that transformation once again. And I just thought it was such a very cool theme and juxtaposition of robot versus human, and how it's almost kind of like ironic in certain ways at the end, you know, what happens.
Totally.
Know,
no,
I loved it.
I'm so glad you're talking about that. I was going to talk about too, and I won't add much more. You pretty much said it, but that is what makes me feel like this episode's so well crafted.
Yes.
Thematically,
absolutely.
It's so beautiful, this journey, and the way they literally physicalize this like human to robot thing with a literal Cheyenne Jackson robot. It's so funny to me.
Totally.
It's incredibly well written.
And once again, the beauty of this episode too is that it's not just for that storyline, but it fits into
all the other storylines
too. That like it's a theme that plays throughout the whole episode, not just Jack's story.
Matt Havard, I love you. Will you marry me? This is how I get married: is I just propose to the writers on my
show.
That
would be such a good story. And
I know.
So reaches out to you.
What a meet
you
cute.
Meet. Well, I was listening to a podcast.
I was on my podcast.
I paged him on my podcast.
Exactly.
I heard this girl, and so I thought I would marry her.
Oh my goodness!
The cheese signal instead of the bat signal.
Hey, so lead us into the Liz storyline.
Okay, so the Liz story, so it's like a Liz and Pete storyline. So they're ready to hire the new actor, and there's this whole, the Hornberger strategy that is very
Hornberger.
Smart. It's so smart. So it's that there's going to be, because it starts with all these pictures on the wall. And the first person, Jack's getting warmed up. The second person, Jack hates. The third person is Jaden. Is Jaden Michael Tyler.
And the fourth person reminds him how much he liked Jaden Michael Tyler.
And I wrote, the first thing I wrote was like, Jaden Michael Tyler's the first choice, right? And I wrote, remember when everybody had three names and that's what they were named?
It's the most actor-y
name
I've ever heard.
Chad Michael Murray, Sarah Michelle Gellar, like all that stuff. And I was like, oh my gosh, remember when everybody went by their full name?
It is the most actor-y name I've ever heard in my entire life.
It really is.
Jaden Michael Tyler. That guy, too. Like, what an incredible guest star bit. Like, that character, the way he works it. I was told one ones that are really good, often for like a guest star, but when you show up on a show, they often don't always write you really funny lines. It's really what you bring to the party. I never thought about that. I usually thought with comedy shows, it's in the writing, and it is. But it's so much for particularly guest stars what you bring to that role naturally to make it funny. And I think this guy just destroys it that.
Oh, he does absolutely a great job.
I don't even know who's this actor, Kelsey.
I didn't actually look
Nick
that up.
Nick Fondulis or something like that.
I've never seen him in anything.
Today, oh, okay. I'm on you just
because
knew
I'm
that.
Like, who is this guy? I feel like I wonder if I've seen him in anything else.
No, because I like him so much.
He has like 28 IMDb credits for film and TV, and then he has like some theater credits too.
Good for him. He must have been a theater dude. He must have been in New York. They're always theater people
totally
on the show.
Totally.
He's got very emotive eyebrows, so I imagine he would do well in theater.
Definitely.
So. He has good eyebrows.
But so basically they're trying to do this, and then Liz remembers, I love this joke too. Liz remembers her own acting days with Susan's B+ talent.
I love that too. That's so great.
When my air conditioner is what is it?
That's not what it is.
What
is it? When your carpets need clean.
When your carpets
need clean.
It's so
much deep cleaning, right? Something like your
carpet. When my carpet needs a deep clean. Oh, I didn't think about that, Kelsey. Wow, Kelsey. This podcast just became explicit.
Wah wah. Sorry, Mom.
Dear Lord.
But the B+ talent thing, that really got me.
It's a great joke.
It's so good.
Mm-hmm. And we just get a continuation of poor. What I love is they all pick on .com, right?
Yes.
And I love this episode because we get a little further in where they all realize how incredible .com is. They're just putting him down because it's a power thing.
Yes.
Which is like, oh yeah, because you played a dumb bird in a
that
play.
That was great.
In a college play. Seagull,
point of view, I'm like,
at the Wesleyan.
The Seagull. Like, first of all, that's a great location and it's the Seagull. So if you do Chekhov, you're esteemed.
And then I just love that bit later where they find what Tracy finds out, he's like, oh, I watched him become
Jagorin.
Yeah.
It's so good. So the Liz storyline, so Pete's all upset because she let .com audition, and then because she let him audition, everybody wants audition, and so Pete is constantly having to continue to stack the deck to make sure that you finally get Jaden in there so that Jack will end up loving him. And you get Brian Williams wanting to audition.
Forget about it.
You get
Mikey Nicarolo or whatever from New Jersey.
You get Frank being like, I will not change my act for your show. You get Toofer and Lutz wanting to be the laugh of the Mohicans.
That's a great name, too. That's a great name.
That's a college improv team name.
Oh,
it really is.
Totally.
Dear Lord.
You get the janitor saying...
I'm gonna need a wig. No, who's that's
for,
the
no,
other guy?
For my like, first character, I'd like to do an old janitor who's finally had enough and stabs everybody.
Oh yeah.
I love how psycho that janitor is.
And that woman, what's her name? Kathy something?
Oh, Kathy Bates getting up there with
not
her.
Kathy Bates.
Not
Kathy Bates.
Guys.
Right?
Kathy Guys.
Kathy Guys.
The
yeah.
Susan.
Past that.
By the way,
Susan Boyle.
You know who's a huge fan of Susan Boyle?
Who?
My grandfather.
Really?
He'll play it and then be like, can you believe how talented she is?
Well, and so like, this was like, because like, so
this is right when it happened.
That was in April and this is November.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
And Susan Boyle's first CD came out like 2 weeks, 3 weeks later.
Because this is the song she sang in that first
song. Yeah. That's what got me.
But then you learn the, like, I'm sorry, I did not expect her to pull down her underpants again.
Also, love how she just, like, completely barrels into Jaden Michael Tyler.
Oh,
and he does not respond.
Yeah.
Kathy, no.
No. No, yeah, the no is just... That cracked me up.
Oh my goodness.
Oh man.
I also like when Pete is mad at Liz, he hits her and she goes, no, you know my fontanelle never glows.
Yeah, that's her soft spot.
So well, funny.
So the whole they want Jaden because he's amazing and she called all of his references and she called and got references from Martin Scorsese, Christopher Walken, and
Gilbert Gottfried.
Thank you. I'm always the other one. And she's like, awesome, it's great. And then when he goes to do his audition before Jack, he realizes that Liz hears him say that he's at a dinner party at Martin Scorsese's house with Christopher Walken and Gilbert Gottfried's guest. And she's like, oh my God, she's so mad about it.
I can't imagine that this is, but I think this might be the first time I realized that they got all of those people to do
the actual VOs for them,
which is insane.
I love that so much.
It's so funny. Also, because if you have oh, like one favorite ode from Martin Scorsese. Do you use it for a VO?
Yeah.
What? I'll take it. He's so fun. They're all so funny. And I brought wine. It's so good. Oh, my goodness. Jaden Michael Tyler. I just love how crazy he is. And again, we get another example of Jenna being right.
Yep.
Yeah.
And I just love the, I'm sorry I doubted you. It's just you've never been
right
before.
Yeah.
About anything. I know. Yeah, so she, so, oh yeah, oh, because that's not what makes Liz realize he's crazy. She realizes he's crazy when she goes to confront him in the back room, and he's like, but you took a picture of my private parts, my- because he had her take a picture. Like, just that whole thing, that's where she's like, oh crap, you're
again,
crazy.
That eyebrow arch is on fleek.
Mm-hmm. And then, like, at the end of that, too, like, the whole thing is like, is someone who's crazy, do they laugh like this? And then the laugh, the laugh. It's
God,
all about
it's
the
so
laugh.
Good. It's such a so great performance good. By that guy.
It really is.
I love him very much.
I wrote Crazy Buddy, which, because that's what, when Jennifer Aniston's character is on in season two, like, because she went crazy, you know, she was just kind of crazy. They called her like Crazy Buddy. Like, that's what that's reminding me of. Like, oh, Crazy Buddy.
Mm-hmm. No, he's insane. But I also, I love that. Okay. Actually, no, that's Jenna's storyline. Can we move to Jenna's storyline?
Yeah, let's, because that's how Liz, it ends with her thinking that Jack's going to like Jaden, and Jack ends up liking the robot.
Exactly. So Jenna and Tracy have this incredible storyline too. It's a really good C plot, honestly, where basically Jenna catches wind that there might be something happening, that there might be auditions, right? Yeah. And so she basically attacks.
Well,
she Kenneth.
Learns that it's Jaden. Oh, no, you're right.
No.
The,
so basically right. She knows there's going to be auditions, and Tracy's like, it's going to be a skinny white guy. You're going to be amazing. I'll just make people laugh by being like all that stuff.
Yeah.
Whatever. But then she sees Kenneth has a paper. She like floats up to which he says, vampire.
Yes. I love that.
I love how she approaches, though. And then he's like, oh, you know, Liz said not to show Jenna, but maybe she meant Jenna in luggage storage.
Yeah.
And then I love that later after when Liz realizes what happened, she goes, ah, luggage storage, Jenna.
Like, dang it.
But she finds out it's Jaden. And her and Tracy decide to go. They're freaking out. They realize there's more auditions happening because .com's going to be it. So they decide to go find their own talent.
Yes.
Right? And I love these people they find. A rabbi.
Yeah.
They find this delightful gay guy who's not gay. He's
bilarious.
And then I just
like, attention all gays.
If you are, what do you say? Like, if you are funny.
If all funny gays into the car.
Yeah.
There's like a level of commentary that's happening on this that I like that they're going for types clearly that aren't them, but I have nothing to say other than there's something happening there commentary wise that I can't fully tap into.
And then there's that line with like the black people line, like she's like, black people I know that I've said terrible things about you in print or something like that. I've said terrible things about you in print, but I come on a mission of peace.
That's right.
That's a great line. That's
so
a great
particularly
moment,
from Tracy, dear Lord.
And then you get they show, we need the funniest fool here to step forward, and it's Colandra.
I love how that woman eats a donut, though.
That's all she does the whole episode.
That's great.
I wish I had that much fun when I eat donuts. I got to work on that.
We can practice, you know.
All right, Lee, we'll work on this. I have a lot of donut places I want to go, so it's happening.
There's a lot of really good donut places in LA.
There are. My favorite's in Orange County,
though. Am I weird that I don't love donuts? Like, I like the fresh M&M's.
The M&M's are great. That's not even, I also eat sidecar donuts, but yes.
Oh, I don't see. I don't like fancy donuts. I want either a fresh Krispy Kreme. Ooh. Or I want
the hot glazed Krispy Kreme.
I want it cold. Or I want the hot blueberry donuts from M&M.
Those blueberry donuts are dope. Yep. I'm with you.
If you're ever at Disneyland, go to M&M Donuts.
Wait, I'm going to Disneyland this like weekend.
Go to M&M Donuts.
It's right down the way.
Is it on the street?
It's not in Disneyland. It's nearby. It's on Cotella.
It's like 10 minutes. Five to ten minutes away.
M&M Donuts.
Yeah, it's literally the letter M and an sign and M. It's on, what is that? Harbor and Cotella. No, that's Brookhurst and. It's
on Cotella. It's M&M Donuts. They have after 10, they have fresh made blueberry donuts.
Literally, it's like this little hole in the wall donut shop in the middle of the parking
lot. It's like
a
stand in a parking lot.
And depending on what time you get there, like the line, like, and like, cause like car meets happen there. Like the line, like it'll take you sometimes 45 minutes to get through the line.
Wow.
It's so.
Were you there the time it took us 2 hours?
Maybe.
It normally doesn't do that. That was a weird night. They said that. But
we tried to go for Bethany's bachelorette party and we were too tired.
Also, M&M Donuts, if you're listening to this, you're welcome for the free promotion.
Yeah, right, M&M Donuts.
Cash only.
Why don't you
anymore.
Support us by sending us donuts every time we record? I'd be.
You can write a review for this podcast too.
Right, oh, that'd be great. And just M&M.
That'd be great.
Liz Lemon will be proud.
But back to what they're doing.
Yes.
What was that? There was a moment I loved and now I can't remember it at all. I just love them freaking out, them bringing in this new talent to play, and then the whole orchestrated system. I can't remember anything else about this.
He's evil, oh, Tracy. Evil,
that's
Tracy.
My favorite. Yeah, it was first it starts where
evil,
Jenna walks
comma,
and goes, actor
Tracy.
Emergency. And he grabs the drama mask and goes, where? And then
I didn't realize that. That's so funny.
And then Jenna goes, he's evil, Tracy. And then Tracy goes, he's evil, Tracy. evil, comma, Tracy. Like, again, grammar jokes. Like, love it.
I also really love his, like, paranoia, where?
Yes.
Which is so good. It's so good.
Also, I love her line at the beginning, or I think it's Jenna that says, like, oh, this is, like, it's going to be a disaster, like Katrina.
Yes.
Remember Katrina, that crazy girl from Hair and Makeup? such a great cultural reference, but also just a great, great misdirect.
Right?
It's so funny.
Oh, my God, it's so good.
He also has the bit where he's trying to, like, get his parking paid for, and he goes, we drove a million miles.
Okay, and then later on, Jack jokes that he, like, tried to turn in a mileage reimbursement form for $600,000. Which comes out to 60 cents a gallon, which is about right.
Fair.
I'm just saying.
Not bad.
I'm pretty sure I get 65 at work or 70. So, I mean, that's about right.
Yeah, that's fair.
And that just kind of... So it ends with the robot.
Yeah, basically the twist is the only person who would talk to Jack is the one he wants to hire. So that he tells Liz they're hiring, which is the... For a great businessman, he's really dumb sometimes, but they got lucky. But they're hiring the robot, to which we get that great scene with Liz walking away. Oh boy, I hope he speaks English.
But then the whole episode ends with Jack singing on the subway.
This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine.
And then he pulls out the bag to collect money.
It's such a classic. From what I hear, Subway, I always think of that John Mulaney bit where he talks about how seeing a mariachi band on the subway is a lot like, you know, in a gangster movie where you're like, you see like one gun and then another, and then you realize it's like a whole thing's about to happen. You see at first you know, a man and a guitar, and then a man and a trumpet, and then I'm like, oh shit, bless you,
thank you.
But it just cracks me up. I don't know, I would say I think this episode's very timely if we're talking about sexual harassment in comedy. I'll leave it there. This episode deals with it a tiny bit. It's a little bit backwards, but it's dealing with it. That's all.
We learn in this episode that .com's real name is Walter.
Such a nice name. It's one of my favorite names. You want to name a kid Xavier? I want to name a kid Walter.
I love the thing where he calls his mom.
Oh, like, that's great.
Yeah, mom. They canceled the audition, so maybe pray on something else.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so heartbreaking.
That's such an actory thing, too. Like, you always see actors that are like, oh, yeah, mom, I have this audition. Like, you know, they're like, I'm praying for you. And then it's like, and then you always do the update afterwards.
So you want to
like,
make your mom proud.
There's so many things in this that are very true to the acting world and how actors go about things.
Interesting. Okay, so I had a question. So, because at one point a guy walks up to Liz, I think, and he's like, my name's Anthony, blah, blah, blah. I need an Obama wig. When you go to an audition, isn't it expected that you come with what? Unless you're like.
Not SNL.
That they're supposed to provide that stuff for you?
Some of it, not all of it, okay. But things like your chair, sometimes they provide wigs. Sometimes, not always, but sometimes
like,
they provide props.
You can't ask for a leg.
I would expect you're not supposed
to ask for something.
They ask you, though. They ask
that's
you
That's what I
would have
thought
want.
That you, or that there's like, hey, or is it a piano's available to you, that sort of thing. But opposed like, I'm going to be Obama, so I need an Obama wig that I, like, that to me, I couldn't figure out if that was normal for auditions or not.
I don't think it always is, but I think SNL, it's more of a thing. Because people are auditioning characters. So
that makes sense. But then at the same time, it's also like, if they don't have what you're looking for, then what do you do?
Yeah,
right,
that's true.
That's on you.
It's like, I need a Katy Perry wig. We don't really have that. Mm-hmm. Okay, I'll just deal with the Taylor Swift wig then, and I'll make it work.
But I want, like, Katy Perry 2010, not Katy Perry 2017.
Yeah, that's the thing. If you ask for wigs for certain people, you have to be very specific on what era or what year you're looking for.
Totally. I made a funny Taylor Swift joke today at work, and I don't remember what it was.
Ooh, funny.
But it was thank you. You know it was funny.
Oh, my God. It was so good. All right, guys. I think we're at favorite lines point of the night.
Yeah, I know, right? Oh, first of all, we do have a Frank hat.
Because. It's one of his better.
Because it makes more sense.
Because of the wonderful things he does. I really think we should just break out into a full musical number because Lee's here.
We'll do a
How
special
goes
episode.
A bastard? Oh, no. I can't even start there.
Oh, man. No, the Wheel of Emmanuel money. All right, Kelsey. Favorite line?
I had two. One was that when Jenna walks into Tracy's office and he's like, Jennifer M., why are you so worked up? Like close. And then I love that he goes, people will laugh even when I forget my line. I love that one a lot.
That was so good. How about you, Lee? You got a favorite one?
I do. So I have two, and like maybe Kelsey, you wrote these down, but 'kay. Like one of them is like
the more people, like the, I think it's a Pete's line, is like the more people you add, the less effective, like a neighborhood dad grunge.
Yes,
band.
The neighborhood garage. Yes, yes. Yeah, the more people you add, the less effective it is. Like a neighborhood dad garage band. Yep, I loved that one too. I forgot about
spoken
that.
Spoken from true experience, Pete.
And then my other favorite line too was like the one about like the pyramid thing. Like you know, it's like you're at the top of the pyramid. You're at the top of the pyramid. TGS is a smaller pyramid, but nevertheless, it will be your it will one day be your tomb.
Yeah.
And you can't what is it he says, something like you can't get mad at the slaves, you can't,
yeah, I know, I wrote down part of it. Oh, hang on,
you can't, here it's, I have it too. Yeah. You can't, it's like you can't hate the slaves that built it.
Yeah, it's the
that built it, because like it will again, you can't hate the slaves that built it, that which will one day, yeah, or you can't hate the slaves that built the pyramid, which will again be your tomb, or something to that effect.
Yeah, I swear I thought I wrote it down.
It's
and
so
I can't
dark.
Find it.
It's so dark, y'all. But I like watching y'all figure this
it's
out.
It's just like a good like analogy. I don't know. Like I mean, I don't know. It's just like I don't know. It's just such a. I don't know. I guess I just like analogies. So like I don't know, like the Lion King, I guess this isn't really an analogy, but when they talk about the being at the top of the food chain, you know, like,
yeah,
like what's eating him? Nothing. He's at the top of the food chain, you know, like those kind of, I don't know.
Mm.
But those are my two favorite lines.
Those are good.
There were a lot. I thought there were a lot of really good lines in this though.
Yeah.
Once again, this just could be because of like the showbiz side of me that like, you know, is into all that kind of stuff. But I really like this episode a lot.
I do. Can I read my favorite lines?
Mm-hmm.
The first one is just where they walk in, they're making a joke, and Jack just goes, ha, that's true, Liz is old.
Yes.
But my favorite one, 100%. I say this every episode, but this is one of my favorite jokes, is when he says, the mayor had bed bugs, and she was a horse. And then a minute later, he goes, yeah, the mayor had to burn all her pantsuits. The twist on a twist on a twist in that joke is literally divine. I quote that one all the time. I would love to get that on a shirt with a horse on it.
Oh, I would
love a horse wearing a pant. I just ask for everything, hopefully one day. Mm-hmm. It worked once.
It did.
I just want a horse wearing a pantsuit, and I want that line over it. It's my favorite thing ever. So
I always love a good Winter Olympics dig, and there's another. Oh, were you really? Sorry.
No, I literally was just saying. Oh, like I'm like, wait, can I add one more favorite line? And that's
sorry,
the one where he's like,
I cut in.
Coming in February, like,
about, like, that's what I'm talking about. Human empathy. It's as useless as the Winter Olympics. And then he says this, you know,
February.
This February on NBC. I'm like, wait, you know, product placement, or like, you know, show placement plug.
Oh, it's so
but
good.
But here's the other thing though too. I actually really like the Winter Olympics, and I know that I'm a minority here, and I like them more than the Summer Olympics, because it's like, okay, maybe it's just because we live in LA, so we can go swimming and we can go like do gymnastics. We can do all the things outdoors, but we can't always do the like snow things because we are not around snow and we have to travel to get there. So, and I guess
true.
I grew up like watching figure skating and stuff too, and like, you know, speed skating and all that kind of stuff too. And like, I don't know, I really like the Winter Olympics, so I'm like, oh, like, they're not useless. How dare you say that?
Yeah.
And by the way, the Winter Olympics are coming this February to NBC as well. So,
oh,
good
dang.
Timing.
Where are they
because
this year?
It's,
I'm going to get in trouble for not knowing this. Oh, crap.
That's
Kimmy,
true, Kelsey.
Note for the
they're
future, don't
trouble.
Ever ask questions that are going to make us look ignorant about
Let's don't ask
kind
questions
of
that create dead air. No, I feel like Sochi can't be right. That already happened.
Sochi, Rio
is
de Janeiro?
Is it Japan?
Or that already happened too?
No, it can't be. You can't have Winter Olympics in Rio, right?
That's
you
true.
You can't have any Olympics there.
Just know that
they
they're
did
coming
already.
This year. We'll look it up
they
later.
That's right. It's in South Korea.
Oh, duh.
South Korea. Okay.
Yeah.
That'll be cool. That'll be cool.
Do you guys like the
Great
Winter Olympics,
timing
though,
with
so
all
know?
The North Korea tension.
Yeah.
Right. My friend is literally there right now at this exact second.
Do you guys like
oh
Winter
my gosh,
Olympics
there's
stuff?
Like millions of people there right now.
I prefer the Summer Olympics, but I'll watch them all.
I watch them all. I'm a big fan of curling.
Okay, I like
curling. So curling's my jam.
It's crazy that it's been 2 years since the last Olympics.
I know.
I
can't believe it.
Winter Olympics again. So this episode really came at a good time to plug the Winter Olympics again.
Totally.
Olympics again. NBC, you're welcome.
Yeah, thank you.
Oh,
we're doing great work for you,
NBC. Plugging
NBC.
Random crap. Not random. That was not random. I'm sorry. My roommate, Katie, was on Wheel of Fortune last night.
Ooh.
And she won $18,000 and a trip to four for on a to a Disney destination.
Is she taking you?
No, she's taking her husband, and then her grandpa was on with her and also his wife.
Oh,
so.
That's sweet.
Yeah, so they won, but like
all
it
right.
was crazy and super exciting. and it was very cool.
Amazing.
So
good for her.
Yeah, blood on Katie. Sorry, this was like at this point it'll be 2 weeks ago. But if you happen to watch one that happened once,
go on the abc.com/Wheel of Fortune.
You can't find any episodes of Wheel of Fortune online.
It's because there's one every day. So there's millions.
There's a bajillion of them.
And all right, guys. I think we've said our pieces. Do we have any other thoughts on this episode? Any other feelings?
There was one thing. Oh, there was a comment somewhere. So there's like the flashback why Jenna hates Jaden, right? And it's like, congratulations on your nomination.
You're right. I didn't want to talk about this.
And apparently, so funny. The outfit Jenna is wearing is almost identical to an episode that Jane Krakowski wore on Broadway at one point, apparently.
In Starlight Express.
There we go. Yep.
Is that what that play is? I know she asked, what play was that? Which is funny because the kid looks like he's in Oliver, but then Jenna looks like she's...
They were saying the... crap. I can't remember. I read somewhere what they thought that parts of it was from.
Mm-hmm. But that outfit was very like similar to the outfit that she wore in Starlight Express,
mm-hmm.
which is a really cheesy show. It's... yeah. So if you're a fan of the show, I don't want to offend you, but it's cheesy.
A whole bunch of people just unsubscribe because they're big Starlight Express fans.
Sorry, y'all. I think that was it. There was one thing else, and I can't remember what it was. So I do like that. Ken and Jack's like, I don't have bed bugs. I went to Princeton.
I loved that. It's like as if that excuses you.
Right.
We could use that, excuse for anything. It's like, oh, I don't have this. I live in L.A.
I don't do that.
I don't get speeding tickets. I live in L.A.
I don't feel cold much. I live in L.A. Oh, man. All right, guys. I think we did it.
I love it.
Lee, can you remind people where they can find you? And do you have anything else to plug?
Absolutely.
As well?
So I have. Okay. So you can follow me on Instagram at Lee Pugsley. You can. That's LEEPUG.
Do I follow you, Lee?
You can follow me on Twitter at Lee Pugsley. LEEPUGSLEY. And I am in the process of doing a few things. I'm going to be starting a new Broadway blog where I dissect a musical a week and we learn life lessons. We see the universality, the humanity, and the relatability of our favorite Broadway shows. And that's coming soon. So all the information will be updated as soon as that's out. It's going to be in the next few weeks. I will also be, as I said, I'm a theater director. So there's a few projects coming up for next spring that are slated that as soon as more information comes available, I have the theater booked right now. I have cast assembled. So there will be shows coming up next year.
Heck yes, Lee.
If you're in the LA area, you can come check out my stuff. If you're not in the LA area, you can fly here and still come check out my stuff. So there's my plug.
I like that.
Legit, dude.
And for those of you that haven't listened to Hamilton yet, this is a plug for Hamilton. Please listen to it. It's amazing.
I love it.
Well done. One thing I was looking at my notes, I forgot the whole joke about like, where do, a nice to meet you. The whole nice to meet you joke is kind of a whole funny thing.
It is very
funny.
The
way to freak somebody out. Kimmy, it was really nice to meet you tonight.
Do you think that, does that work? Like if somebody
I'm
comes
really,
up to
if like, Kelsey did that to me, I'd be pretty pissed.
Nice to meet I'm you. Kidding. Yeah, I'm trying to think. It would definitely depend on the, like I've learned like, not everybody's memorable. Like if I've met you probably like three times, I'd be like, all right, really? But if I've only met you once and it was at a party, there were a lot of people there.
True.
Because story of my life is like all people come like, hey, and they start talking and you're like, I have no idea where you're from. And you'd feel
Kelsey's just
ask.
A little too popular.
On,
you know?
A, on a side note about this really quickly, now we have to go. Like, so sometimes people come up to me and they'll be like, hey Lee, it's so good to see you. And I'll literally have like a 20-minute conversation with them, like, where do I know this person? Where do I know this person from? I have no clue. And then at the end, they're like, oh, well, totally call me. Let's get together sometime. And then, like, I'm like, yeah, totally. And then, like, my friends that I was with are like, who is that? And I'm like, I have no clue.
You're like, why didn't you introduce yourself? That's where you got to have a buddy system set up. You're like, all right, if I'm talking to somebody, you got to, like, introduce
yourself.
You're
like, I haven't met you. What's your name? And then you're like, oh, yeah. That's, like, that's Kimmy. Okay, Kimmy, me, you know, John.
And then you're like, I still don't know who you are.
Yeah.
My mom has that issue a lot where, like, people run into her, like, in the grocery. I'm like, you're Kelsey's mom. And then my mom will try to describe the person later. I'm like, yeah, I don't know who that was. But
take a picture. Does your mom ever screenshot it and send you? Who's this person?
Right. Take a picture and send it to me. My sister was trying to describe somebody that ran into her, like, the DMV or something. She's like, she was talking to me and she went to school with you and she had a kid. And I was like, let me go through all the people. Like, it was
odd. Let me check my Facebook friends.
legit. Like, I'm hoping that person will message me, like, I saw your sister. Doesn't always happen. Anyways, it is 11:15, so it's late, y'all.
It's late. We gotta go to bed. I don't want. I'm worried. I'm killing my roommate. So we're gonna go to. Yeah. We're gonna go. But
you can find our podcast places: Talk 30 Rock to Me, mm-hmm. Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. Send us emails: talk30rock@gamale.com. For some reason, I always want to say that when I say Gmail. Leave us a review. Subscribe. You leave us a review, we'll send you a sticker if you tell us about it.
Mm-hmm. At Kimchi Lucas, at Redheaded Blonde. Yep. Find us, follow us, love us, the huge. Thank you so much for listening, Lee. Thank you for coming.
Yeah, thank you guys.
You guys are awesome.
We always love having you. You're so much fun. You have so much to offer. I really appreciate you doing this with us.
I appreciate you guys.
Oh man. Lee's my favorite. All right. Kelsey.
I think that's it.
I'm not gonna see you till after. No kidding. I'll see you soon.
It's gonna be a while probably.
I know.
Should we close with a Christmas song? I don't know. Is that too cheesy?
Well, this isn't our last episode before Christmas.
Oh, okay. Just we can still sing a Christmas song though.
Okay.
We don't have to. We'll save it for later.
We wish you a Merry Christmas.
We wish you a Merry Christmas.
Kelsey's dying.
We wish you a Merry Christmas
and a Happy New Year. Do the Christmas.
Yeah.
For more information and shows, visit BoardWalkAudio.com. Don't forget to rate and subscribe now.